Just like to welcome everyone this morning, councillors and staff. I just have a wee problem myself. I forgot my glasses, so if I go off on the wrong track, you'll understand why.
Would you like to use mine?
It's all right. No, I'll get there, hopefully. Apologies. We don't have any apologies. We note the leave of absence of Councillor Graham Bell.
Councillor Robertson will just be a couple of minutes late.
Yep.
She'll be here soon.
We note that as well. Attendance, we note who's in attendance. Confirmation of the agenda. I haven't been advised of any additional items to the agenda, so we assume that's the way it is. Conflicts of interest. Anyone got conflicts of interest, let us know. Otherwise, we assume not. No presentations. We move on to confirmations of the minutes for the meeting of the 21st of March 2018, the DCC. Are there any matters arising from those minutes people wish to raise? Otherwise, I assume they're a true and correct record.
Happy to move, so, Mr. Chairman.
Seconded by Councillor Scott. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Against, carried. Now, the first paper today is the passenger transport update. Right there, yep. It goes through a number of items then about patronage in both Queenstown and Dunedin. Easter weekend trading service, a petition from North East Valley regarding bus stops out there, and then there's a mention about a DCC request for something to similar to be done with public transport in Dunedin as Queenstown. Notes the changes to the Waikari-Helensburgh routes, and the final one was the Waikato bus patronage, which was well up following the same trend. Anyone wish to comment on any of those items?
Thank you. In terms of the changes to the Waikari and Helensburgh routes, do we then monitor those changes to assess their fit, or is that just part of all of the routes?
Put that in Mr. Collins' hands.
If it may, through the chair, we will continue to monitor the changes, albeit the council have resolved that is now formal part of the network. But as with all services, they'll be monitored for iciness conditions and patronage. And we are looking at trying to improve the amount of reporting we have on patronage to bring it down to the unit level at least.
Councillor Deka.
Yeah, point four, the North East Valley bus stop. I want to speak just briefly in favour of supporting what the petitioners are asking for, which is a relocation, with a couple of observations. One, because I spend a bit of time at the Gardens Corner, because that's my sort of my neighbourhood, that is a busy bus stop. And yesterday I saw two or three buses come and go. And on every occasion there were multiple passenger movements on and off the buses, going across the supermarket into the pharmacy and all that sort of stuff. But there is a driveway right across which is our bus stop. I walked up that driveway when here were 10 vehicles. It's a residential area. There are flats and apartments up there. And clearly it's highly unsatisfactory, as I'm sure Mr. Collins will agree, to have a bus stop over a driveway which is by 10 vehicles, and probably more for all I know. This was the middle of the day. So I support that, but it is important to have a stop which is pretty close to that corner, because that's obviously a highly desirable destination for a lot of our passengers.
Yep. Mr. Collins, you got anything to add to that?
If I may, through the chair, the reason why we haven't done anything at this point is because with the new network, there is some, or have been some minor changes there, and the introduction of the interchange has meant that we will be looking at rationalising the bus stops in that area, but we want to do it in a considered way.
Yeah. That's very good.
Councillor Scott.
Yeah, are we allowed to talk about all the items?
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, just reading the report, I thought it was a good news report. You know, in a time when there's a bit of publicity about the buses and so forth, but I thought this was a good news report. You know, it highlights the 7% increase in patronage that we're all aware of and the 5% increase in revenue. So, well done. That's in relation to last year. I personally would be interested to see how it sort of fits on the longer term, but nevertheless, in terms of an incremental improvement, that's trending in the right direction. As Councillor Deeker said, you know, I'm also a local in that area, so I thought just the fact that the council was viewing that issue with an open mind, it was prepared to consider a review, and that's all in that report. So, you know, at a time when we're accused of having our heads in the sand, here's an example of a fresh look, and which is similar to the Waikare situation. And of course, we've talked about the Wakatipu outcomes there, which are pretty impressive, and that sort of I think reflects the challenges that we have in that space, and I look forward to learning in the future what we're going to be doing around Wanaka and some of these, you know, huge growth areas, and look forward to that. My only negative comment is I am wondering whether I'm on the right council. Like, for example, you know, like in the next election, if I want to get changes on the bus system, should I stand for the Dunedin City Council? Because what it says here in point number 5, that the DCC have requested that council consider a $2 fare. Like, we've raised that item here at this council, but in fact, it has to come as a formal request from the DCC to get traction. So should I, if I've got outcomes I want on the buses, is this the right council to be on?
Back to the poor
place. Probably not, Brian. They should leave now.
Which, Mr. Chairman, of course, raised the issue on it, and no doubt we're not going to discuss it now, but who in fact should be running the buses? And it may well be that City Council should run its own buses, and I personally would be perfectly comfortable with that.
Chair? Yeah, it's probably not for discussion now, but exactly. Have been there, done that.
That's right.
So.
Well, actually, I want to carry on from both councillors. I've read the ODT today. Now, I know that you can't necessarily rely on a publication for accuracy. But, at the end of the day, I think I read the fact that there was a motion passed by the Dunedin City Council yesterday that will, I guess, come to the next round of this organisation as to partnering the organisation of bus transport in the city. And I'm a bit of a this person, let's stop being reactive, let's start being proactive, as you're aware. And I'd like to front foot this issue. I think it's a marvellous idea. I think if we could transfer passenger bus services from the Otago Regional Council to the Dunedin City Council, it would be the solution for all our problems. And the only thing that stops us is a little bit of imagination. Some people might say, oh, it's the law. Well, easy enough to get a private law change through Parliament on that one if both parties were there. I also love the idea that the Dunedin City Council should take joint responsibility for passenger bus services here, and any communication has to be a good thing. You see, here I am. I'm a Dunstan councillor. I've lived 225 kilometres away from Dunedin. My colleague Ella lives, 300 kilometres away from Dunedin, and my other colleague Graham about 200 kilometres away from Dunedin. Our intimate knowledge of Dunedin bus services is just about zilch. And yet here we are, three councillors sitting around here making decisions on Dunedin City Council Dunedin City bus services. And so when I vote on things like, for example, the Peninsula de facto school bus service, I'm not really as educated or as aware as I would be on environmental issues. It's always been a really uncomfortable fit. So I'd just like to move a motion at this time, given it's not on the agenda here, but with your consent, Mr. Chairman, that we enter into negotiations with evolving partnership or a partnership with the Dunedin City Council for the management of Dunedin City Council, of Dunedin City bus services. And the reason I say that is because, as a general rule, those constituents know their constituents probably in this area better than we do. We've got an environmental focus, that's where we live, that's our aegis. And I'd love to think that all the trouble and all the controversy of the last month might have a positive outcome, and that is that we might have a more integrated relationship with the DCC when it comes here. Now, I realise I'm a new councillor. I know there's some eyebrows going skywards at the moment from old councillors. But gee, if you'd solved it, guys, we wouldn't be having this problem now, would we? So I guess my plea is that we enter a much more formal relationship with the Dunedin City Council. And if we can be more informed when we make decisions, I can't see that as a bad thing.
Councillor Laws, you're moving that.
I'd just like to move that we formally contact the Dunedin City Council to explore potential partnership operations, but a potential partnership for the management of Dunedin Bus Services.
I'll second that, and it's also conversations that we've had with the Queensland Lakes District Council around the opportunity to work more closely with them, if not in the future, to pass it over to them.
Mm.
Councillor Kempton.
Yes, Mr Chair, the motion, where it takes us, I don't know. I'm quite happy to support it. But I would like to note that this confirmation from the DCC that they want a partnership has been a long, long time coming. There has been formal and informal overtures from this council to the DCC for better governance of the public bus services in Dunedin for a long time. So this is nothing new. So I'd just like to make the point that over time, ORC has been proactive in its attempts to get a formal governance group associated with public transport. And I would suggest that the DCC, where I'm delighted that they've come to this point, but have taken an awful long time to pick that up. Now, why? Who would know? But I think also that we've seen governance arrangements around transport generally, but specifically public transport in Queenstown. The success of that will have had something to do with DCC saying, how the hell did that happen? All right, so I'm more than happy to go along with that, there's only one real caveat, and it's really for the DCC, and it is to say that the DCC will actually have to take the cover off its levers and start pulling some of them if it wants to make the kind of changes that we've made in Queenstown as well. But you will only actually ever get that discussion going with a formal governance group. But as I say again, there have been overtures over a long period, and this isn't this council being inactive.
Mr. Deacon.
Yeah, thanks, Mr. Chairman. It's not the distance away from Eden City buses that Councillor lived. It's the number of years away they are from the experience of this day. And Trevor Kempton is absolutely right. We have had many, many discussions with DCC about exactly what they are apparently wishing to do yet again. We have waited endlessly for them to come to us because we've welcomed it. But the proposition about how their governance, shared governance, whatever, would look like. And I think Councillor Woodhead knows from his experience on the mayoral forum that these things usually just lapse and disappear. And I suspect this one will again, unless we pick up a baton this time and rush to them and say, look, we're sick of this. This is silly. And maybe if the motion does take us in that direction, that's admirable. But I need to remind people, some will have forgotten or not been here to know it, that we have had joint working groups of councillors, didn't produce good results. The RPTP 2014, which we're very proud of, there was a Dunedin City Council person who was an architect of that, along with several around this table. And by the way, that very same DCC councillor is now sneering at us because we won't back away from what the RPTP laid down, which was direct high-frequency routes. He wants to go back to having routes which meander empty around back streets again. just to satisfy one constituency. So we've got to be aware that that kind of politicking is there at DCC table, and we wouldn't want to see it here.
That's a bit late.
Councillor Woodhead.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'll go back a step for a start off and just address the report. This is ongoing good news. When we first saw these graphs take a jump in both Dunedin and Waikatipu, that's nice. Let's see month two. Now we're in month three, four, and five. And there's some consistent trends there. Significant changes, significant investment, and Council Deeth has just touched on part of it, starting with the RPTP. There's a lot of work before that. And I just want to acknowledge the work that staff, Mr. Donnelly, your staff have done, and Mr. Collings is in the room, but there's a bigger, much bigger group than that, around making some pretty dramatic changes across both networks. Massive challenges resourcing drivers, buses, free Wi-Fi, etc., etc. And we're not there yet. I'd love to see the bus hub, and we'll see that this year. And new ticketing system. Technology where you, with an app, you can find out where the bus is, etc. And so we've made some significant investment. It's now a $24 million annual investment across the region in toto transport, $12 million in public transport in Dunedin, 7% increase with the number of the population of Dunedin is actually significant.
Very.
So, and the Waikatipu graphs talk for themselves. We had an aim there, jointly with the governance group, which is NZTA, Airport, ORC and QLDC, of doubling patronage over the year. That looks like we're going to be ahead of that target. Staggering stuff, really. Is there some more work to do? Absolutely. Are there some tweaks? Yes. With respect to the conversation that's been started with the motion, so all that DCC has done at this point is indicate that there will be a... it's part of their long-term plan submission, is my understanding. And so let's have a look at what that actually, the wording of that actually is. Interestingly, there's still something on the table because the last time this conversation occurred, I think around the 2016 election, but I stand to be corrected.
It was.
We sat down with DCC and had discussions and said, all right, we're in the middle of these massive changes, and they agreed, happily, that we leave it as it is. ORC continued with the implementation of the transition into passenger transport operating model, PTOP. So it still sits on the table. What's happened in the interim is a group called Connecting Dunedin, Mr. Donnelly, I think, is that correct?
Yep. That's right.
Is operating across a number of stakeholders, including ORC and DCC, dealing with all transport matters. Am I correct on
that? Yes, so transport matters that impact across local road networks, but also NZTA, the port, the airport, and others are involved in that group.
Wider stakeholders as well, port and airports are great. So that's their meeting, how often, Mrs. Gardner?
We have regular meetings. I think I've had two or three since I've been here,
yep.
So they're fairly regular.
So it's pretty regular. So from a relationship perspective, at a staff level, and ensuring there are efficiencies, understanding of what each group's, et cetera, you know, there's been a significant change there also for the good of the greater Dunedin. So... I can't support this motion today. I'm happy to wait until let's have the conversation as part of the long-term plan discussions and actually really understand with the city face-to-face what they're thinking about. Joint governance has some interesting connotations. Legally, we run the buses. How do we fit that all together? There are other examples around the country being quoted, for example, Canterbury, but Canterbury has a public transport system of spread across and operating across three different districts. So not directly comparable, but let's have a look at it. And hopefully that's helpful with a wee bit wider context, building on what Councillor Deeth reminded us of also.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I too must congratulate the job the staff have done on the buses. But I do support the motion.
albeit that it is somewhat premature, but it's there now, and I've always been an advocate that the city should be running its own buses, and indeed Queenstown. What I would like to see added to the motion is, with the eventual consequence being that the city is responsible for its own buses and Queenstown, if that's, and I would seek consent of the mover and seconder to have that added to the motion. And if not, I'd move an amendment, but I'm happy just to have it added.
Yeah.
Now, is that... So, it's always been my consideration that it's a far better fit with the DCC. They're already in charge of placing a bus stop. They're already in charge of the parking. Parking is a tool that can be used to make people, incentivise people to actually use the buses. They've got far more tools than we have. And this, the only consequence of why I see this being a bit premature today is because it's a little bit knee-jerk. But having said that, if it has the consequence of what I eventually want is anyway, then I'm definitely supporting it. So, thank you.
Well, Councillor Laws, do you wish to exercise your right of way and also give consideration to what Councillor...
Are you happy with that, Alan?
Yeah, sure.
So we're happy with the amendment proposed by Councillor Neil.
Just before you do that... motion as we've got standing at the moment. Clear. People happy with that? Is that quite clear?
Yeah. Well, I mean,
yeah, Councillor Laws.
I think it probably needs a little bit of wordsmithing. The idea would be a formal contact to explore. Yeah. That needs to go in there. And probably the end of it would read, and also the potential of the transfer of bus transport systems to the Dunedin Town Lakes District Councils. Can I, first of all, in my right of reply answer to Stephen, I don't think we need to wait until the long-term plan submission from the Otago, sorry, from the Dunedin City Council for us to take the initiative on this issue. About a year ago, we sat around this table and said, what do we want to be? Who do we want to be? Who are we? Where do we want to go? And the thing that came out of that, Stephen, was the desire to become proactive and to take leadership roles, and not to wait for things to happen to us, but to take responsibility ourselves. I've listened to the eloquent statements of Councillors Kempton and Deka on past attempts to try and enter a constructive relationship with the Dunedin City Council to do what we all want around this table. And I can't see that waiting for a long-term plan submission from the Dunedin City Council is going to advance those prospects, do anything other than delay. The point is we've been given an opportunity by, ironically, controversy. And that has focused the minds of the Dunedin City Councillors upon what they would like to happen to bus transport systems and how they would like to govern them. There may well be a sea change in that council, but now is the time to take advantage of it. And all we're seeking to do now is to begin to explore that relationship and what it might look like. Delaying for another 3 to 6 months is not an answer when we all around this table want the same conclusion. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Councillor Kempton, quickly.
Yes, look, this motion has actually turned on its head. I supported the original. I cannot support it as it stands. And the simple reason for that is that here we are with virtually no understanding on the part of most councillors of the legislative requirements for regional councils to run public bus services. We are just going to knee-jerk into saying, yeah, we'll hand it over. I suspect that there are significant issues around legislative responsibility for those systems, and I think that we need to cover that off first. Absolutely, we should pull together a governance group. This might be something the governance group looks at. Right? Leave them to take a look at where the various elements of responsibility lie. For God's sake, that one step at a time here, we're going to score a massive own goal.
Sorry.
So my view,
get together really productively, as has happened in Queenstown, without QLDC saying, we want to take over the buses. I suspect that that's the last thing they'd want to do, because they're able to achieve exactly what's required as things sit. But where we sit today, most of us have nowhere near enough understanding of the background, the legislative background, for us to make that decision today. I can't support the compound motion. I would have supported the first motion.
Chairman, the wording of the motion is explore.
Exactly. I was just going to answer that. The word is, and now that you've given Trevor a figure, and Trevor, can I just answer? The word is not to make a policy statement today. It doesn't. It's just to explore the potential of. So it's not going to set a policy statement at all from this council. It's just going to say, when we do enter those discussions, we'll look at this as well. Don't make any decisions.
I think we've probably had a good discussion. I'll probably just check the motion again, if that's all right, please, Lauren. It's
an informal contact with the BCC to explore for a potential partnership for the management of the Dunedin bus services and also the potential transfer of the bus transport system to the Dunedin City Council and the Queenstown Lakes District Council.
Okay, I'll put the motion now. Everyone clear about the motion? Okay, I'll put it. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Against?
No.
I'll call for a show of hands. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Four, is that correct?
The new.
Against?
That's the new councillors.
The motion is lost. Okay, is there anything further on
can
that?
Can we go back to the first motion then?
No, we can't.
Why?
Because you accepted the amendment to the first one.
Yes, but it doesn't mean to say that we can't move a new motion.
No,
I'm not being stupid, Michael.
You are indeed being stupid.
No. Standing orders.
The only thing I say, Mr. Councillor Laws, is you say that, why delay it until the long-term plan? But we couldn't operate any faster than that, given that's only within the month anyhow.
No, wait on. There's a point of order here. Bob, now raise it. And Michael, you're wrong. Read your standing orders. I can move a motion now, if I wish to, that is different than the motion that we've just declined. I'm allowed to do that under standing orders.
Argument with that,
that's fine. Okay.
Suggesting that.
No, what I'm saying is, can I just move the original motion without the amendment? No. If it's lost, it's lost.
I'd like to move on back to the report, Mr. Chairman, and was just going to touch on briefly item 2.3. And because that's the first time I think I've seen the data with respect to the students using the Peninsula contracted service, the school's contracted service, from October, November and December of 2017. And it certainly does explain quite clearly, in my view, why both the contract and now the schools have withdrawn from their contracted school service.
Yeah, sorry, Councillor Wardell, I think you've jumped on to the next report.
Yeah. Oh, I have.
Yeah, sorry, we haven't finalised the last one yet.
Oh, haven't we?
Sorry.
I thought you had.
any further discussion on the previous report?
Do you want to get off that one?
Okay, I'll move the public transport report. Sorry. Councillor Lawton.
Can I just have a clarification of what the next steps are now for the petition regarding North East Valley stop? We've got a petition.
Yep.
Now what?
Mr. Collings.
If I may, through the chair, we'll respond to the person who lodged the submission, outline the process we're going to go through, which will be a review of the bus stops up the North East Valley end, along with some timing, once we've had a chance to look at it, of potential changes, if any. So,
I just request that we give a vote of thanks for the efforts of bringing together a petition? It just seemed, I don't know how to respond to say thanks for actually engaging with us on this issue.
I'm more than happy to formally go back to the submitters in writing and express council gratitude for them bringing it to their attention.
And the matter will come back to us at some stage?
Yes, it will.
Great.
We'll note that. And, good as done. Any further discussion on the public transport report? I'll move that this report be received or seconded by Councillor Kempton. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Against, carried. We'll move on to the Director's Report. Now, basically, this is about the Peninsula Buses issue. It gives some background about the Regional Public Transport Plan when it was formed and when our new system in Dunedin was came into being, September 2017. So we'll just open it up for discussion. Any, Councillor Woodhead, do you want to?
Oh, yeah, thank you, and my apologies, Mr Chairman. And look, it outlines all the enhancement in one report of the service that has occurred. And there's been lots of discussion around how many children would or are currently using whatever service. And here's the hard data from the last 3 months of last year. All right, discard December because the school phases out with the seniors leaving first, etc. Understand that. But the majority we understand, which the schools have told us themselves, use the service to get home in the afternoon. So, you know, when you're getting 46 average per day over 22 days in November, there's very few actually going to school in the morning on that service. And yeah, good report. Thank you, Mr. Donnelly. It pulls it all together and puts it there for all to see.
Thank you for that. Councillor Laws.
This has been a really interesting issue because the Otago Regional Council have taken a large number of public hits, including, I think, an editorial in the Otago Daily Times, which would suggest that the protest sentiment that has emanated over this issue has resonated in a wider community within Dunedin. And I've been fascinated to watch it from afar because it sort of illustrates a significant failure of the ORC, really, which is to communicate, which is pretty basic. The failure to communicate on this issue has been one of the reasons why so much oxygen has been provided to those who have had a dissenting point of view, because there's been nobody out there in the wider community arguing exactly what this paper argues and promoting it to the Dunedin public. And I've been disappointed by that because the first time I saw anything from the ORC that looked like a defence was yesterday or the day beforehand, Stephen, from your piece in the ORC. Well, that's great. It was just way too late. And now there is such a build-up of resentment in the wider Dunedin community as to the alleged high-handedness of the ORC that as a result of us not front-footing this issue. I just want to clarify that we're not going to do this again. That when we get an issue like this, whether it's in Dunedin or Alexandra or anywhere, and there are two sides of an argument and a pretty clear policy imperative of why you've done something, we just don't sit back and become a punching boy for the opposition without at least offering the alternative set of facts to the public. Yeah, so I hope lessons are learned from this, because at the moment, I don't know what the public perception of the ORC would be in Dunedin, I don't live here, but I can't imagine after all the publicity of the last month it would be favourable.
Councillor Deacon.
Yeah, I'm not going to argue with Councillor Laws on that one. I do want to look forward, because I think I'm the same as everybody around this table when it comes to these peninsula services, which is the focus of the public and editorialising, public comments and editorialising that Councillor Laws refers to. I'm the same as everybody else around this table. We want those kids who live on the peninsula and who need to go to Tahuna Intermediate, 11 and 12-year-olds, to be safe, to have a convenient service, to have an affordable service, and a reliable service. Now, as you all know, I went and jumped on that service on Monday morning. It was a shocking morning. Pouring with rain. There were floods all over the road. There were at least four slips across the road. There were roadworks everywhere. Yet that service, the Jaija went at McAndrew Bay, arrived spot on time. The kids got to school warm and safe at 8:20. And I was very impressed with that, and I went home and reflected on it and wrote a letter to the ODT. I sent you all the letter. They chose not to publish it as a letter, but to take it to the people who see themselves as community leaders on the peninsula. And they saw it as a set of inconvenient truths. No argument with the facts, well, there didn't seem to be. They just described my letter as ridiculous. Now, I haven't bothered to ask them why they used that adjective. Beggars belief, really. And then that same leadership went on to make a call for the peninsula community to pick up their flaming torches and their pitchforks and advance on this council.
Oh, yeah.
Dear God. I mean, what kind of leadership is that? How much maturity and intelligence does that show? I've already referred to the city councillor who's been an architect of our own RTP, which we're very proud of, and with every justification. The graphs we've just discussed show how the rollout of that plan, thanks to the leadership of Mr. Collins and his crew, is really working. And yet here's the councillor who helped us put it together saying, no, we've got to change things. We've got to have routes going in all directions to suit some students. Goodness me. I came with some questions this morning, but I managed to get most of the answers before the meeting started. For example, I wanted to know what it is actually that those 12-year-olds and 11-year-olds are paying to get from Broad Bay to Tahuna Intermediate using the transfer system. And the answer is, I think, about $1.56, right?
Through the chair, $1.52.
$1.52, there you go. Now, is that affordable? I suspect it probably is. Is that a much better deal than the private arrangement they had? Boy, is it what? Hugely better. Is it a safe, convenient, timely service? It is. Is it going to get better? Yes, it is. Because when the bus home comes in and we get a little bit of tweaking of the times and that connection at the Midland Street, Andy Bay Road bus stops, with the pedestrian light controlled crossing, it'll be even better and even safer. So what can we do? Because I started out saying I wanted to look ahead. Bearing in mind Councillor Law's comments about ways in which we could, if we'd known what was coming, promoted this service and its qualities a little bit better, I think what we now need to do is to buy some space in whatever is the best media to communicate with the Dunedin Council groups, with McAndrew Bay, with Broad Bay, with Portobello, with Harrington Point, Harwood, wherever those kids are coming from, and say just a little box advertisement or a 30-second radio spot, if it's that. Here are the service options you've got available to you when they leave, etc. Here's what it's going to cost with your go-card, number two. Number three, here's what you say to the driver when you get on the bus to make sure you get the right transfer with no extra cost. And that's about it, really. Just those three bits of information need now to be disseminated simply, clearly, minimum number of words, boom, boom, boom. I'm not going to move a motion, but I think the people concerned know exactly what I'm talking about, and that's what we need to do, and we need to do it tomorrow.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, and thank you, Councillor Deak, particularly the part, you know, looking forward, because that's what we've got to do. And I don't disagree with what Councillor Laws was saying as well, because, I mean, there's been so many letters to the editor, and As I understand it, we don't always get included in that loop. But if we could, you know, the type of things that I'd be reiterating is, as has been said, is that we're focused on providing direct, consistent and reliable routes and services. And the part that I don't think we say enough is that we're focusing on an integrated network of routes under a hub and spoke model. Because when, from my perspective, when I visualise that, I can see, okay, I can understand it, I get it, you know, and then we've got these transfers, some of those challenges. My concern at this point is that there's two camps, and the camps are withdrawing to their corners, and there's a lot of verbal stuff, and there's a lot of, you know, bad will, and all this type of thing. And I think there's an issue there. And as a council, we need to, you know, show our maturity and our leadership in terms of how do we get ourselves out of the situation. We talked earlier today where one scenario is we go running to the DCC, get this governance group, and all problems will be solved. And maybe that's so. But at this particular time, you know, what is something that we can do to show some leadership? And, you know, I'm actually blown away by what that cost is, because what I was going to suggest was maybe, you know, some free go-kart or whatever to these kids to encourage them to use this transfer system to try it out. But it's so damn cheap that I'm not quite sure what benefit that might be. But I say it, I just put it out there. If there's something this council can do to show goodwill and to provide the opportunity for the kids going to Tahuna and some of these schools to try it out, and if it's as good as we say it is, then it will succeed. So maybe some free go-karts or whatever that encouragement inducement is the space I think we should be in. Thank you.
Councillor Neil.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. And yeah, congratulations, Councillor Deaker, on what you've done in terms of going around the route. Yeah. And it is, we must look ahead, but nothing wrong with looking back. We can learn something from it. And I believe this council came across as arrogant, and that has inflamed the situation, there's no doubt about it. And we didn't need to. The consequence of what happens would well be the same. We just didn't need, we handled it badly. Whether other councils acknowledge that or not, I don't care, but that's my feeling, that this council handled it badly, and I look forward to us handling it better in the future. As for the chairman of the local community board and his statement about pitchforks, well, probably a little misguided, but definitely tongue-in-cheek, so let's just see it as it is and take it pretty light-heartedly. That's all I've got to say, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Any further comment on this, Councillor Kempton?
Probably so.
Yeah, I think there's been some very positive discussion here this morning. We have the media here. I hope that the media will represent that discussion well. But I think that we need to distill this issue down to its simplest components. The component, never mind who ran what bus systems, where or why, and how many people used them. I've talked about this often, talking about our public transport system, and it is that we haven't got a set of community-agreed levels of service. Right? And we can say this meets the community-agreed levels of service, or it doesn't. Okay, now that might have been something that might have gone in the public transport plan. It wasn't there. It might be next time. Who knows? But what this simply boils down to is that there is a community that believes that the level of service provided by the public transport system is below a reasonable standard. And we're saying, actually, we think it meets a perfectly reasonable standard. Hub and spoke, transfer, all of that, $1.52. We would say, I think, as certainly staff would say to us, is that this in fact, by any standards of public transport, probably exceeds most levels of service where they are nominated and set. And so that is the simple issue. And I think that we simply have to focus on whether the levels of service are at a good level, a reasonable level for a public transport service, and forget all the peripheral stuff, which when we look back on in 10 years' time, will be many people will be embarrassed about. So that, I think, is the heart of the issue.
Yeah, thank you, Councillor Robertson.
I might be misinterpreting what Councillor Kempton's saying, but I thought that we did have clear levels of service in the plan in terms of frequency and route. So I think that should be clear to the community what is
supervised.
I'm probably misinterpreting the point. Other thing, I think that it's been unfortunate what this has done to our reputation, but I would have to say that staff have gone out of their way to meet with these communities, often discuss these issues, and are following through on what council decisions have been. So I think really we have done a lot in this area, need to recognise that. Might not have got an outcome that everyone's happy with, absolutely. I think what we need to do from here is have a clear time frame that we can put to people saying, yep, this is the service we're actually happy with it at the moment, but we are going to be having a hub. We're going to be just checking that the timetable is right, and we can maybe if we can tweak it and make it smoother for everyone, we'll do that. But these are the time frames that you can expect to see a result back from us on those things, so that people know what they're working with. They know they have to work around what we're currently proposing, but there could be some tweaks.
If I could offer just a point of clarification, I think what I'm saying is more comprehensive than that. I think that a broader set would have been useful at this time. So we're talking the same language.
Yeah.
Okay, Councillor Woodhead.
Just want to confirm, Mr Chairman, that the petition from the Peninsula will be being presented to the council meeting in 2 weeks' time, and on the 16th, I think it is, and the chairperson of the Peninsula Community Board has contacted me last week and wanted a face-to-face meeting with Mr Graham, the parent representative. So we're going to cover that off next week. Hoping for a better understanding of it. So, we'll see the community present the petition in the 16th.
Is that this Friday, a meeting with them?
Last speaker on this subject, Councillor Laws.
I just want to... Michael Deaker, I mean, it annoys me. I've been here 18 months now and we have discussions all the time and never decide to do anything. Michael Deaker has said that he wants to correct the misinformation that's out in the community. And can I just say, Stephen, nothing wrong with your article, but in actual fact, it was general. It needed specifics. These are the things that would happen. Now, I had those specifics as a councillor a month ago in my inbox from, I think, Mr Collings, about how the system would work and how it could be practically achieved. And frankly, that article needed to go out a month ago saying, actually, this is how it works, and it can be done very easily. Now, Michael suggested buying space. Is that right, Michael?
Yep.
In publications designed to correct the misinformation that's going out there. Now, don't tell me, Stephen, to wait another fortnight until Mr Pope ends up here, because that would just allowing 2 more weeks for these community expectations and views to be entrenched. Now, you say you're not going to move a motion, Michael, but if you're not going to, I will. Because I think we need a clear resolution that says we will take a proactive media role in addressing the misinformation that has been published relating to the community, the Bus Peninsula issue. If you made a motion that then sends a clear direction from this meeting today to our staff and to the chairman to prepare that information and have it published, then I think that would therefore allow a much more informed discussion in the community at large. We're never going to convince Mr Pope. Mr Pope is a failed council candidate. He wants to get on at the next council. This is a brilliant issue for him. Good on him. This is politics 101. Excellent. So we know what Mr. Pope's doing. You're not going to convince him to change his mind. It's performed brilliantly politically for him. But we do have a responsibility to the wider community to inform them with the facts. So that's why I've moved that motion. I hope you second it.
I'm not going to argue with that. I did say, though, Councillor Laws, through the chair, that I didn't think it was necessary that the staff who are listening to this discussion know exactly what I suggested should happen. I want it to happen, and I think it should happen tomorrow.
Okay.
So if a motion is going to absolutely ensure that and make Councillor Laws feel better,
well, no, it's not
I'm happy to second it, but
order,
I don't
order,
think
please. Just one speaker at a time. Okay, thank you. Now, Councillor Laws, could you state that motion again, please, so everyone's clear?
The Council immediately take proactive steps.
Are we a seconder for that?
Yeah.
Councillor Scott. Discussion on that motion? No discussion? Well, I'll put the motion then. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Against? Carried. Okay, any further discussion on that paper, the public transport paper?
That was probably enough.
Hope not.
Oh, yeah, what is it? Just one item there. Accounts for payment. Note that. And if not, I'll move the report be received. Seconded by Councillor Hope. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Against, carried. Move on to the next report, which is the financial update. We had the 8 months to the end of February last time, I think it was. So it's been, this report's pretty much the same. We've got this statement of revenue and expenditure, statement of financial position, and statement of activity expenditure. Is there any comment on this report?
There you go, she's left the room already.
If not, I move this report be received. Seconded by Councillor Woodhead. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Against, carried. We need to go in committee now for the reasons stated, and I'll move in that direction. Give consideration to the minutes of the last meeting on the 21st of March. Seconded by Councillor Hope. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Against, carried. Aye. We've got the minutes, an attachment in there somewhere.
Yep.
Any discussion on those minutes?
Have you moved them as a true and correct record, Chairman? Yeah,
thank you.
Good thing
is seconded by Councillor Hope. All those in favour, please say aye.
Mm-hmm. Aye.
Against, carried. I move to move out of committee. Seconded by... seconded by... Councillor Digger. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Against, carried. I declare the meeting closed.